Then comes the section today, which has been given a small heading, and well, Tawabit. So when we've understood what is Tawabit, then there comes a section here, the types of Tawabit. That occurs here on page 300 of the Lebanese edition, page 233 of the Egyptian print. The types of Tawabit. Then there comes the saying of Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, وَالطَّوَاغِيتُ كَثِيرُونَ وَرُؤُوسُهُمْ خَمْسَةٌ إِبْلِيسُ لَعَنَهُ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ عُبِدَ وَهُوَ رَاضٍ. He said, and the taghuts are many, and their heads are five. And he starts to list them. The taghuts are many. He mentions that the heads of them are five. And he mentions them firstly, Iblis. May Allah curse him. May Allah's curse be upon him. And whoever is worshipped, and he is pleased with that. So he mentions the first two in the list there, Iblis, Satan, Shaitan, may Allah's curse be upon him, and whoever is worshipped and is pleased with that. Shaykh al-Qasim said in his explanation, he's saying, وَطَوَاغِيتُ كَثِيرُونَ وَرُّسُونَ خَمْسَةً. And the taghuts are many, and the heads of them are five. Shaykh al-Qasim said, the taghuts upon whom this definition applies are, what procedure, what came last week, the definition that came last week, what the Tawbut is, those whom it applies upon, he said, are everyone who is worshipped, or followed, or obeyed. And they are many. However, their heads are five. Meaning their major ones are five. Are five. And he goes through the list one by one, explaining each of them. Firstly, Iblis, may Allah's curse be upon him, La'anatullah. And Shaykh Rozan explained what is meant by La'anatullah. May Allah, may Allah's curse be upon him. Meaning, may Allah expel him and distance him away from his mercy. And that is the meaning of La'an. Allah's curse. His La'an is Allah's distancing that one. Repelling him and putting him at a distance away from his mercy, far away from his mercy. On account of the fact that he refused to prostrate to Adam, and he disobeyed Allah, the Perfect and Most High, وَتَكَبَّرَ, and he was proud and haughty. And he said, Iblis said, when he was commanded by Allah to make prostration to Adam, he said instead, قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. Surah Sa'd, the 38th Surah, Ayah 76. He refused to prostrate, and he explained himself by saying, he said, I am better than him. You created me from fire, and you created him from clay. Shaykh said, so therefore he disobeyed the command of Allah, and was haughty. So therefore Allah cursed him, and repelled him, and distanced him. And he is called Iblis. And why is he given the title Iblis? Shaykh said, he's called Iblis. It is said, in the explanation here, why that is, title is given to Iblis. He said, it is said because he was ablasa min ar-rahma, because he despaired of mercy. Meaning, ya'isa, he became, or he despaired of mercy.
So al-mublis, a person who is described in the language as mublis, is one who despairs of something. So in other words, that Iblis is called Iblis, meaning one who is despaired, one who despairs for his mercy, he will not receive all his mercy. Then the Shaykh said, so Iblis, may Allah's curse be upon him, is the head of the Tawhuts, because he is the one who commands the worship of other than Allah. If you remember in the story from before, the story of Nuh alayhi salam, how shirk first appeared, who was the one behind it when it first appeared? It was Iblis whispering to the people. Shirk first appeared. So Shaykh said, because he is the one who commands with worship of other than Allah. And he is the one who commands with following other than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is the one who commands obedience to other than Allah by declaring things permissible or forbidden. So therefore Iblis, he is the source of evil, and he is the head of the Tawhuts. In all the three senses of Tawhut, Iblis is the one who commands with that. He is the one who commands the people to worship other than Allah. He is the one who commands them to obey in disobedience to Allah, in making things lawful or forbidden. He is the one who commands following other than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's him, each time. So he is the first, and as the Shaykh said, he is the first of the Tawhuts, and indeed he is the head of them. Then he mentions the second of the Tawhuts. The second one, man ubida wa huwa radin. The second one is whoever is worshipped and he is pleased with that. If anyone besides Allah is worshipped and he is pleased with that, meaning he is worshipped and he is pleased with being worshipped by the people, then he is a tawhut. As for one who is worshipped and he is not pleased with that, then he does not enter into that. In someone the people worship, but he didn't ever seek that from the people, he's not pleased with that, then he doesn't fall under the definition of Tawhut. Shaykh al-Fawzan says, because Isa alayhi salatu wasalam has been worshipped besides Allah, however, he was not pleased with that. Isa alayhi salam, the Prophet of Allah, the Messenger of Allah, Isa alayhi salam, no doubt the Christians have worshipped him. But that does not make him, we don't give him the term Tawhut, because he was never pleased with that. The Shaykh said, and his mother, and Uzair, and the Awliya, the beloved servants of Allah, the beloved and obedient servants of Allah, and the Salihun, the righteous people, from the servants of Allah, they are not pleased with that. All of these are people who have been worshipped by some people, but they were never pleased with that. Rather, they used to criticize this and fight against those who did it. So whoever is worshipped and he is not pleased with that, then he is not called a Tawhut. Then Shaykh Fawzan gives evidence for that and mentions the issue of Isa alayhi salam in particular. He said, and that is because when Allah sent down his saying, إِنَّكُمْ وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ حَصَبُ جَهَنَّمْ أَنْتُمْ لَهَا وَارِدُونَ Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st surah, ayah 98, with the explanation, you, and addressed to the people of Shirk, you and whatever idols you worship will be fuel for the hellfire. You will enter it. The Sheikh said, the people of Shirk became happy. And they said, we worship Al-Masih, we worship the Messiah, Isa alayhi salam, and we worship such and such, and we worship such and such. Therefore, they will be with us in the fire. And the people of Shirk tried to use this ayah. I mean, the people of Shirk, obviously, they worship many things. Some of the people of Shirk, the Christians amongst them, they worship Isa alayhi salam. Some of the people of Shirk, they worship the angels. Some of the people of Shirk, they worship beloved servants of Allah who have died and passed away. So when this ayah came down, Shaykh Hussain, that the people of Shirk became happy. إِنَّكُمْ وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ حَسَبُ جَهَنَّمْ أَنْتُمْ لَهَا وَارِدُونَ. The explanation, whatever you and whatever you worship besides Allah will be fueled by the hellfire, you will enter it. The Shaykh said, so the people of Shirk became happy. Meaning, okay, all these things that worship besides Allah, they will be with us in the fire. So Isa alayhi salam, he'll be there with us in the fire as well then. The Shaykh said, so this, when they said this, Allah the Most High sent down these ayahs. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَّ الْحُسْنَى أُولَٰئِكَ عَنْهَا مُبْعَدُونَ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ حَسِيسَهَا وَهُمْ فِي مَشْتَهَتْ أَنفُسُهُمْ خَالِدُونَ. Surah Al-Anbiya, same surah, ayahs 101 to 102. With the explanation, those for whom Allah has written that they shall be people of bliss, they shall be kept far away from it. They shall not hear even the slightest sound from it, from the fire. But rather, they shall be enjoying whatever their souls desire forever. Shaykh said, and it occurs in the other ayah, that they said, وَقَالُوا أَآلِهَتُنَا خَيْرٌ أَمْ هُوَ. Surah Az-Zukhruf, the 43rd surah, ayah 58. With the explanation that again the people of Shirk, they said, trying to raise objection, trying to justify what they were upon, they said, are our gods better? Are those things that we worship better? Or is he? The Shaykh said, meaning, by that they meant Isa alayhi salam. Then he said, Allah the Most High said in refutation of them again, مَا ضَرَبُوهُ لَكَ إِلَّا جَدَلًا بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ خَسِمُونَ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا عَبْدٌ أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَيْهِ وَجَعَلْنَاهُ مَثَلًا لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلٍ. Surah Az-Zukhruf, the same surah, 43rd surah, ayahs 58-59. With the explanation, they do not quote him as an example to you. Isa alayhi salam. They do not quote him, even the people of Shirk, they do not quote him as an example to you, except in order to argue. Indeed, they are an argumentative people. He was no more than a slave upon whom we bestowed favor, and we made him an example for the Banu Israel, for the descendants of Israel. Shaykh Fawzan said, so he is a slave of Allah, and he was not pleased that he should be worshipped besides Allah. Indeed, Allah sent him to criticize that. Allah sent Isa alayhi salam to criticize the worship of anything besides Allah. And he quotes the ayah in proof of that. مَا قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَمَرْتَنِي بِهِ أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ. Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th surah, ayah 117. In the context of the ayah, in the context of the Yawm al-Qiyamah, when Isa alayhi salam is questioned about the worship of those who worshipped him, so that he will respond with the explanation, I did not say to them, and he's questioned, did you command them to do this? So he'll say, not to expose them, that he will say, I did not say to them, except what you commanded me to, that you should worship Allah alone, my Lord and your Lord. Shaykh Fawzan said, so therefore, one who is worshipped, and he is not pleased with that, he does not enter under this threat, and he is not a marhut, because he rejects and criticizes that. Because a marhut is one who is pleased with being worshipped besides Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Then comes the saying of Shaykh al-Islam in continuation of the text, وَمَنْ دَعَ النَّاسَ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ نَفْسِهِ. And whoever calls the people to worship himself. Shaykh Fawzan said, in explanation, and the third one, so we had the first two taghuts, now is the third. Shaykh Fawzan said, the third is whoever calls the people to worship himself. said, such as the heads of the people of Shirk, those who call the people to worship them, such as Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, who said, فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى Surah Al-Nazi'at, the 79th Surah, Ayah 24, with the explanation that he, Fir'aun, said, so he said, I am your highest Lord. Shaykh Bazan said, unlike An-Namrud, unlike the extreme Sufis, those who call the people to worship them to such an extent that they give instructions to the people to worship them after they have died. So that he says, so that one of them says, when matters become very difficult for you, then come to my grave. Meaning, when affairs become difficult for you, then you should come to my grave, and a few hands full of earth cannot prevent you from me. So they counsel the people to come to their graves and to worship them. Or rather, said, they counsel people to come to their graves, and they promise them that they will carry out their needs. So whoever calls the people to worship himself, whether whilst he is alive or after he has died, then he is from the heads of the Taghuts. And likewise, whoever calls the people to worship someone else besides him, he is from the Taghuts. And they are the callers to Shirk. They are Taghuts. Those who falsely beautify Shirk for the people, and they call it with other than its name, and they say this is a case of tawassul, a case of legitimate seeking legitimate means to Allah, towards Allah, or it is a case, they say, it's a case of shafa'ah, legitimate intercession, and they are many. Shaykh is saying there are many. Of course, we find them in this country from the extreme Sufis, or many of the Sufis. They hide under the guise of, they call themselves Sufis, and what they're calling to is shirk. And then to justify it, they say, no, it's not shirk. Don't believe those Wahhabis, yeah? It's not shirk. It's shafa'ah. Or it is tawassul. It's not shirk at all. Going to the graves, making requests from that righteous person, it's tawassul, it's shafa'ah. And you should be aware it is shirk that they're calling you to. This one is calling to it is a tawut. No matter what he calls himself and what he claims to be qualified from. This is shirk and here's a tawut. The Shaykh said, having said that there are many, he said, those tawut, those are tawuts, because they call the people to shirk. So they call to the worship of other than Allah. And they call that with other than its name. And they falsely adorn it for the people with doubts and with falsely adorned speech. They are taghuts. The callers to shirk are taghuts. Don't be fooled by the flowery language or the speeches they give or whatever. If they're calling to take the cover off, if they're calling to shirk, they are taghuts. What they're calling to is shirk, whatever they call it, tawassul or whatever they want to try and make beautify with. Be aware it is shirk and they are taghuts. So the Shaykh said, the callers to shirk are taghuts. And everyone who is worshipped besides Allah and is pleased with that, or calls the people to the worship of himself, or calls the people to worship of other than Allah, then he is from the taghuts. Indeed, he is from the heads of the taghuts. Nas'alullahu al-afiyah. We ask Allah for safety and salvation. Amen. Then comes the continuation of the main text, the same of Shaykh al-Islam. وَمَنْ اِدَّعَى شَيْئًا مِنَ الْغَيْبِ And whoever claims to possess anything from knowledge of the hidden and unseen. And whoever claims to possess anything from the ghayb, the hidden and the unseen. Shaykh Farzan said in explanation, the fourth one is whoever claims to possess anything from knowledge of the ghayb, the hidden and unseen. He said, and entering into this are as-sahara, the sorcerers, people of magic, and al-munajjimun, the astrologers, and the Kuhan, soothsayers, the fortune tellers, and the Rammalun, the geomancers, and they are people who, they draw lines from Ramal, sand. They draw lines upon sand, and then they try and interpret these lines upon the sand to predict future events. Geomancers or drawers, Rammalun. And everyone who claims that he possesses knowledge of the hidden and the unseen, and says to the people, such and such will occur for you. See, whatever means they use to do it. They say, such and such will occur for you. For you, you will receive bliss. Or you will receive some hardship. Or you will have a successful marriage. Or you will have an unsuccessful one. Those people claim knowledge of the hidden and the unseen. And the ghaib, the hidden and unseen, is not known except by Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Shaykh Muhammad Iman, from Allah, in his explanation, he mentions some different categories of people. He mentions, for example, those people who read tea leaves. Coffee cups, they have a cup and you drunk your tea and they pour the remainder out. They try and read the tea leaves or what, the grains at the bottom. They claim that if you look at it, you can't see anything. They claim they can predict things based upon it. So whatever means they use to predict things from the hidden and the unseen. Shaykh Ghazan said, and the ghaib, the hidden and the unseen, is not known except by Allah, the Perfect and Most High. He the Most High said, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Surah Al-Naml, 27th Surah, Ayah 65. With the explanation, no one in the heavens or the earth knows the ghayb, the hidden and the unseen, except Allah. Shabbosan said, and He the Most High said, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولُهُ. Surah Al-Jinn, 72nd Surah, Ayahs 26-27. The explanation, He, Allah, is the knower of the hidden and the unseen. And He does not reveal what He has kept hidden to anyone, except to one He is pleased with, whom He has sent as a messenger. Shaykh Fawzan said, and He the Most High said, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُمْ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, Ayah 59. With the explanation, and with Allah are the keys to the hidden and the unseen. No one knows it except Him. And He knows whatever is in the land and in the ocean. And no leaf falls except that He knows of it. Nor is there any grain in the darkness of the earth, nor any fresh thing, nor any dry thing, except that it is written in a clear book. Shaykh Fawzan said, explaining the phrase, لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. No one knows it except Him. This is a limitation. So no one knows the ghayb, the hidden and unseen, except for Allah. Or one to whom Allah has revealed something from the hidden and unseen, from His messengers, for the benefit of mankind and as a miracle for the messenger. However, he will not know the hidden and unseen by himself. In that messenger, whoever, he will not know the hidden and unseen from himself. Rather, he only knows it from Allah's teaching it to him. So no one knows the hidden and unseen except for Allah. So therefore, whoever claims to have knowledge of the hidden and unseen, then he would be a sharer with Allah with regard to something particular to him, He the Perfect. So therefore that person is a mushrik, a person of shirk. He is a taghut, and he is a kafir, a disbeliever. And this is one of the greatest forms of apostasy, ridda, away from Islam, and claiming to have knowledge of the hidden and unseen. And finally, the last one, he's saying of the Shaykh al-Islam in the main text, وَمَنْ حَكَمَ بِغَيْرِ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ. And whoever judges by other than what Allah sent down. Shaykh al-Islam said, the fifth one is whoever judges by other than that which Allah sent down. And the proof is his saying, He the Most High, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَتَحَاكَمُوا إِلَى الطَّاغُوتِ. Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 60. The explanation, they wish to refer for judgment to the Taghut. Shaykh Razan said, so whoever judges by other than that which Allah sent down,
holding that to be permissible to do, then he will be a Taghut.
And the person who says it is permissible to refer for judgment to man-made laws, or to the customs of the times of ignorance, or to the customs of the tribes of the Bedouins, and to leave behind the legislation, he says this is lawful to do, or he says this is equal to that which Allah sent down. And if he says it is better than that which Allah sent down, or equal to that which Allah sent down, or he says it is just permissible to do, and he doesn't even say it is equal or better, he just says it's permissible to do this, then this person is a Taghut. No one says any of these three things, he will be a Taghut. And this is by the text of the Qur'an. He the Most High said, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَتَحَاكَمُوا إِلَى الطَّاغُوتِ. Same ayah with the explanation, they wish to refer for judgment to At-Taghut. Shaykh Razan said, he is called At-Taghut because he has gone beyond his limit. Then he said, as for a person who judges by other than that which Allah sent down, whilst he affirms that that which Allah sent down is what is obligatory to follow and is the truth, and that anything else is false and futile, and that he is judging with something futile, then this person is counted as being a kafir, a disbeliever, who has committed kufr al-asghar, lesser kufr, lesser disbelief, which does not take a person outside the religion. In the first category, the first three there, I mean that's major kufr. The person who holds that the man-made laws are better than Allah's laws, or are equal to Allah's laws, or that it's permissible to judge by those laws. That person is outside Islam. As for a person, as the Shaykh said here, he doesn't say that. Said, no, Allah knows there what is best, but he judges by something else, as the case here, which I've mentioned here. Then he agrees that these other things are false and futile, but he just, for his weakness or whatever, then he judges by something else. Sheikh said, he has committed kufr, he's described a disbeliever, who has committed kufr asghar, lesser kufr, which does not take a person outside the religion. However, he is upon great danger. He is upon a way which may lead to kufr, disbelief, which takes one outside the fold of Islam, if he becomes lax about this matter. And he said, as for one who judges by other than that which Allah sent down without intending to do so, he mentions a separate category altogether. One who judges by something, and he gives a judgment which is not the judgment sent down by Allah, not intending to do so, then the Shaykh explains, rather from ijtihad, from personal striving and deduction. And he is a person who is rightful to be performing ijtihad, personal deduction, from the jurists, from the people of fiqh, fuqaha. And he performs ijtihad, he strives to attain the correct ruling. However, he does not actually attain the judgment of Allah. and he makes a mistake in his ijtihad, then this is forgiven for him. I mean, what he judges in the end is not what Allah has sent down. The judgment is, Islam says such and such, based on his ijtihad, he's wrong. That is not Allah's judgment he sent down. Then, but this curse of this person here, in this case, is much to him. He strove to attain what's correct. But he, in the end, he was mistaken. The Shaykh said, this person is mistaken, this person is forgiven. Because the evidence, he said, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, إِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكِمُ فَاجْتَهَدَ ثُمَّ أَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرَانَ وَإِذَا حَكَمَ فَاجْتَهَدَ ثُمَّ أَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ. When the judge judges and strives and he is correct, then he will receive two rewards. And when the judge strives and is mistaken, then for him there is one reward. In a footnote, they mentioned the hadith reported by Bukhari as hadith 7352 and by Muslim as hadith 1716. And it's a hadith of Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. The Shaykh said, because he did not deliberately commit a mistake, he was intending the truth, he was intending to conform to the judgment of Allah the Mighty Majestic. However, he was not granted the success of attaining it. So this person is counted as being excused and one who will receive reward. However, it is not permissible to follow him upon the error. It is not permissible for us to follow him upon the error. So from this, are the matters of ijtihad of the jurists, the scholars of fiqh, who have made a mistake in those matters, or the striving of the judges in the courts when they strive to attain, to arrive at a ruling, and they exert effort to reach the truth, however they are not granted it. So their error is forgiven. Alhamdulillah, what is evidence for that? We got the Tawud, we'll say that next time. Alhamdulillah,